Hey yo! Welcome to another episode of the Earbuds. Man, people in here are just dying in the studio to talk about today. Let's just kick it off immediately with our first segment. I think we're gonna do a little
segment first. We're mixing things up.
Yeah, mixing is a good way to describe it. We're gonna do a little OVO whiskey podcast. We have a couple friends in the studio to enjoy this journey with, I guess, for Virginia Black or whatever the hell Drake's whiskey is called.
You lose my Virginia Black.
When did you lose your Virginia Black?
It was the summer of 2012.
That is
it's an autumn day. It was October, actually.
Ooh. That's PJ.
October's very old.
Co-host of the NBA podcast, The Point Forward. Go check it out. I was on there earlier this week.
Allegedly.
And then we have Ryan in the studio as well.
What up?
He just gave a peace sign to the microphone.
Yeah. No,
I'm not sure he understands this isn't a live video recording yet.
No podcast credentials whatsoever. No.
Yeah. So, as I just said, we're going to drink this whiskey and then talk about it. What did you think of the box?
The packaging is top notch.
Yeah, which lends me to think that the actual whiskey is not going to be very great because it's like $37.
Paying for the bottle.
Yeah.
This whiskey might be the first time ever you want to judge a book by its cover.
Life lesson.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Hey, do you think the mic picked that up?
Wow, it's pretty good. Your face doesn't... I think it's pretty good.
It's okay.
I think it might be because my ice cube melted.
Yeah, same.
It feels kind of smooth.
Feels smooth.
There's not...
If you're drinking this, it's too late.
Ooh. There's not a ton to it, I don't think.
No.
Are you drunk right now?
I
feel like there's very little aftertaste.
Right? That was the most bland whiskey I've ever tasted in my life.
Right. It's just kind
of... It's the Coors Light of whiskey.
It's the J. Cole of whiskey.
Oh. Yeah, but it costs a pretty penny.
A Penny Hardaway?
Yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree.
Yeah, there's not much to...
Straight down the middle.
Yeah.
No flavoring, just not bad, but not good.
It goes 0 over 100 really quick.
Wow.
Jeez.
That's certainly not bad, but I think it could use some more life to the flavor.
It doesn't even burn good.
It doesn't burn at all.
Which is like, some people like that. It's not going to warm me up, though.
The more I think about it, it's definitely makes sense it's a Drake whiskey.
Yeah, he didn't want to offend anybody.
Yeah. It's a whiskey for the people.
He probably took this flavor from someone else.
Oh.
Like Canadian whiskey?
No, speaking of, though, I couldn't find it in the store, and I went to the Canadian whiskey aisle to try to... find it, and it wasn't there because this is distilled in Indiana.
Conservative take on whiskey.
Yeah, like can't even like stick to his roots.
Sorry.
Yeah, I got nothing else. It's not that great. I'm gonna
give it out of 10.
6 Like I drink this over some things, but like if you're gonna drink something like this, I'd rather just pay $10 or $15 less and have Jim Beam.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I'd give it a 6 or 7.
Yeah,
we only rate whiskeys on this podcast, not music.
0 over 100.
Wow, you didn't even give it 1 point for being an alcohol.
No, just a 0. I think I'm good with not because although the bottle is good, I'll give it the 1 for the bottle and the packaging.
Well, that's what you're paying for because it's like got a bunch of like engraved like
the bottles
cutouts. Well,
Ryan, what did you say?
Tweeted it
like?
Out yet?
Yeah, okay.
It looks like your like middle school cologne bottle.
Yeah, it's like your grandpa gave you this. It's like got a gold cap. Yeah, check out the podcast Twitter handle for pics of Virginia Black at EarbudsCast.
Yeah, the Earbuds Podcast.
No, it's just at EarbudsCast. Do you even follow us? You dick.
No.
You can swear on here if you want.
I'm going to go.
Oh, fuck yeah, I'll swear.
I fucking don't.
You guys have the explicit label?
We got to earn it. So say
I'm
fuck a bunch of times.
Follow the Point Forward.
Point Forward already blocked you.
Good.
Well, thanks for coming in the studio, fellas. If you want to keep drinking and sit here while we talk, you can.
No, I'm going to go watch the Saints beat the Vikings.
Okay.
It's a prediction.
Cheers.
Go Drew Brees. Even though Drew Brees has a 1-6 record on the road in the playoff games.
What was Drake's album before More Life, before the playlist?
Views.
Mm-hmm. This is the Views of Whiskey.
Is it?
Vastly disappointing and overlong and bloated.
Mm. Wow.
Bloated?
Dude, yeah, that bloated? Was a bad album.
Yeah, it's not great.
I don't feel bloated yet.
All right, see you guys. Right. Thanks, dudes. You. In earbuds first.
Yeah.
Doing whiskey talk. Let's get. How are you, Mark? Now that we got the studio back to ourselves, what's new, man?
Well, I'm pretty amped that this is gonna be our second episode in 2 weeks.
Yeah, starting off the year.
Yeah, we're gonna hit that 26 quota.
I think we will.
And then we're just done for the year.
Well, thank you for sitting through like 4.5 minutes, listeners, of us talking about whiskey. Yeah. We'll get into music here in a second.
We're slightly more able to talk about music than whiskey.
Yeah. No. Yes. We probably consume just about the same amongst both of those, but whatever. Honestly, though, like if you like the show, head to iTunes and give us a review and a rating. That'd be really dope of you. And then follow us on Twitter at EarbudsCast, and definitely follow us on Spotify. All one word, the Earbuds. We have a few playlists up, one that we update every Sunday or Monday, Best Buds, which is just like a collection of like new music we've found. It's not necessarily like released recently, but what?
You have written down, let's dive right into this.
Oh, I was just, oh, you dick. Yeah, I was like just like spitballing earlier this morning.
Nick has the entire episode scripted out on his
computer. My god.
Now
Mark,
you're gonna delete it?
You're putting me on. Yeah, no, you can't let anyone know. As soon as I was plugging our stuff, you put me on blast.
Sorry to interrupt.
Nah, you here, you just go take it.
Well, let's dive right into things today.
Oh man, yeah, let's talk about some like news, some newsy stuff before we get into some albums. Let's talk about this rapper, or promise, like a guy that wants to be a rapper. So he robbed a Wingstop in Memphis to get Rick Ross's attention. That's pretty extreme. I feel like that's a bad way to go about this. So this was on Monday of this last week. His name is Cedric Miller, is one of the suspects. And then a Wingstop employee like identified him in like a line. Yeah, I'm on the same website, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Local news.
Yeah, so what did you think of this? Like, would you go about this way to like get someone's attention?
No,
like in the science industry, would you just like go like rob a laboratory and be like, "Hey, I'm really good at this."
No. But so so this puts Rick Ross in a spot where even if he like for whatever reason checked out this dude's mixtape or his SoundCloud account out, and was like, "Oh, this guy is super dope." He can't sign him because signing him would then be that just opens the door for other people to rob Wingstop for attention. Like, there's no good outcome.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. yeah, dude, and it's just like, yeah, it's bad. Like, you shouldn't do something illegal in order to like get noticed.
Right.
Like, Big Sean, for, like, kind of as campy as he is, like, the way that he got discovered is really cool, because he just, like, found out Kanye West was in the studio somewhere and, like, sat outside until Kanye, like, walked past a bunch of times and, like, kept freestyling in front of him until Kanye was like, "Oh, okay, like, give me your tape." And then Big Sean gave him his tape and then, like, 2 years later signed to him. Like, that's, like, a cool story. This is, like, what were you expecting to happen? Yeah. Like, the best case scenario is that you get signed, I guess, but the worst case scenario is like jail time. Like the risk does
the
not
more probable case.
Yeah, like there are other ways, especially in today's like music world, like just like upload some stuff to SoundCloud or Bandcamp and just like don't do that. Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. So that'll be interesting to see how that kind of like falls out, I guess. But if there's any copycats,
do you think he asked for wings along with the cash?
Yeah.
Like, he had an order prepared to fork over the register, but also
this guy probably eats, like, naked wings, though. Like, not... He doesn't even get the flavor. He's, like... yo, give me the dry rub.
All right. So that's our news segment.
Yeah, do you want to talk about anything else?
No, there wasn't a whole lot of...
No, there was a... I mean, okay, so now that we're like a couple minutes in, what do you think of this whiskey now? Now that those non-whiskey drinkers are out.
It's still fine.
Like, yeah, it's still fine. Let's talk about... So an artist that we discovered this last week, she got some love on the Spotify New Music Friday, which is pretty dope. And like a bunch of... music publications were writing about her. Her name is Sydney Gish. She's a student at Northeastern University in Boston. She's like uploaded a bunch of stuff to Bandcamp, but this is like her second album, I guess. It's called No Dogs Allowed. And it's really like funky and odd and like weird, but like, I really enjoy it. Yeah. It's like a folky rock. What would you call it?
It's like kind of like folk rock. It reminds me in some ways a lot of Courtney Barnett.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of very kind of almost stream of consciousness, sort of off-kilter vocal delivery. And a lot of it is like very laugh out loud funny. just the kind of self-deprecating wit. It's a lot folkier though than a lot of Courtney Barnett. It's really so she did all of it herself.
Mm-hmm.
She worked with like a MIDI recorder and just like laid down all the tracks herself and arranged them, which is really impressive because a lot of the arrangements on here are super well done and pretty layered.
Yeah, and
there's a couple songs with like multiple like kind of harmonies going on, like vocal harmonies, and then she's like doing the main. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, and to kind of do your point about the self-deprecating wit, there's a line on the song Sin Triangle. What's the hook? It's, two-faced bitches never lie, and therefore I never lie. And I just, like, the first time I heard that, I was like, that is fucking hilarious. Yeah. Like, that's really funny.
Let's go to the classic Earbuds hole of just trading lines back and forth.
Yeah, well, yeah, do that, and then let's play a snippet of a song.
Yeah, okay.
That's so people can kind of get a read on it before we go too ham.
Yeah. Well, do you want to do that? Do you want to play a little bit of Sin Triangle?
Yeah, we could play Sin Triangle.
I think that's a pretty good representation.
All right, let's do Sin Triangle.
Did you have another one you want
to do? Yeah, Where the Sidewalk Ends, which I think is like probably the most popular of the songs on Spotify. And like she only has like maybe 100,000 monthly listeners. And when I first discovered her, it was like 15,000. And then she ended up on New Music Friday. So like she got like a bunch of love the last like week. So get in on it now is kind of our point. Check and see if the microphone's on.
Yeah.
Dead
couple,
time.
A couple of saboteurs in
yeah,
the
dead
studio.
Air. Yeah, for real. Yeah, let's play. Which one do you want to do?
Let's do Where the Sidewalk.
Okay, let's play a little bit.
Send it back to Amazon. I wanna write a list. I wanna pepper it with everything I'm validated, just to see if you'll agree with me. Cause that's all fine. Ooh. Throw it on the line of reality and the mud in your mind. Where the sidewalk is.
Yeah, so you can kind of, like, get the feel for, like, the little oddball. Like, it's not glitchy. Glitchy's the wrong word, but it's just, like, very pointed, maybe, is the word I'm looking for. It's just like, bum, bum, bum. Like, I don't know. There's just, like, a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Kind of your point with the layering and whatever. Yeah, she's dope. It's, like, a really easy listen, which I like.
Yeah, there's, yeah.
For, like, the dull of winter, it's just like, yo, throw this on while you're, like, cooking or... bumming around.
A lot of the songs do have kind of that self-deprecating or just kind of oddball wit, I guess. Mm-hmm. On Good Magicians, she said, It's this song, kind of, she's sort of just talking about magicians, I think.
Yeah.
And she's, unless I'm horribly misreading it, which is very possible, she says, if I tried to do the same tricks, I would end up with trick cereals, mascots suffocated in a hat, and half a torso cut in half from messing the box routine up bad, the rabbit, and a non-comedic lawsuit on top of that.
Yeah, like,
which
I don't...
just very...
it's just, like, stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's... I don't know...
Very goofy.
And I don't know if I should, like, be thinking more about it or less about it. It's just, like, yeah, there's just, like, a lot of, stuff.
Yeah, there's... So, some of the songs, I feel like, kind of are just that, but, like, Persephone, mm-hmm. Is a song about her mispronouncing Persephone, the word Persephone... and Protestants, and it's like very funny, but she kind of ties it up by saying, who needs mistakes and stupid phrases that aren't real anyway? If I'd known I'd mess up this many times, then I'd shut up for the rest of my life. So there, yeah, some of the songs do, she corrals everything in and sends a message, but
yeah,
it's
so,
very, yeah.
Like, what did you think about it when I first, like, sent this your way? Like, what were you kind of expecting, I guess?
I didn't know what to expect with, like, the cover's pretty strange, and
yeah.
No Dogs Allowed is so weird.
And the first track.
Yeah, that's another thing, is the first track is just, like, a bird tutorial video that she found audio from to teach your parakeet how to talk. it's very, like, the immediate reaction is just very kind of folky, like, indie, just having fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that... vibe holds up throughout the album.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I agree. It's pretty good, so go check it out.
Yeah,
Dogs
I mean,
Allowed.
Like, throughout her talent, like, really shines through. Like,
yeah,
there's no song where it's like, there's always something interesting that'll catch your attention.
Yeah, so here's, like, kind of hoping she gets, like, a record deal out of this.
Yeah,
and can, like, produce, like, a bigger,
yeah,
because
that's
project,
kind of the,
because, like, she did this by herself, like,
yeah,
like, imagine what she could do if she has, like, a team. Or
that's very much the car seat headrest Frankie Cosmos, mm-hmm. route, where you just load up on Bandcamp and finally one of your projects kind of,
yeah. And I mean, it's worth, like, going and reading some of the stuff that's been written about her on either Pitchfork or man, who else, I think Fader had an article,
yeah.
about her, so it's, like, super interesting, so definitely worth it. Anything else you want to say about that before we move into our second album?
Do you want to do quick single of the week in between?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Just mix the whole order up this week.
Yeah, it's a new format.
Yeah. Works. New year, new format.
With lots of plugs. Go give us a review.
Please, 5 stars.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah. At EarbudsCast.
Drink Virginia Black.
Our single of the week. Don't say that. We're not going to give a hearty recommendation until Drake retweets us. our soul single of the week is King's Dead by J-Rock featuring Kendrick, Future, and I've seen James Blake credited on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's sort of, from what I understand, is going to be on this Black Panther soundtrack that we talked about last week. And also is the lead single off J-Rock's upcoming album.
So it is going to be on his album.
That, from what I understand, from what I've read.
Yeah, we're also only going to do Black Panther soundtrack singles for the next month.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think if another one comes out, unless it's really awesome, we'll probably just wait until the sound... We'll review the sound, discuss the soundtrack. But
yeah, Oscars week.
Yeah, we try and kind of... cap our single coverage off after one or two if we're going to talk about the album.
Yeah, that's fair.
Look behind the scenes. But yeah, what'd you think?
Look behind the...
What'd you think of this?
Yeah, so J-Rock is fire. That's my first reaction to this single, is that he's really dope on it. Kendrick delivers a really good hook.
Mm-hmm.
And Future starts off his verse really well. It's like just classic Future, and then he does this like weird voice thing where he like, I don't understand, maybe he like has been hanging out with Young Thug too much and like thought he could like pull off this like high-pitched singing thing, but like it's really fucked up. I don't like
I think that's the immediate reaction from like anybody who listens to this, no matter how much they like it, is the first thing. It's just like, what was Future doing?
Yeah, like it's really bizarre.
He does, yeah.
The song's dope. But he, oh, yeah. It's a weird, like, when he comes in, it's odd.
Yeah, like, he just doesn't deliver it in, like, a way that's super convincing, or it just doesn't fit in with, it definitely doesn't fit in with the rest of the song.
No, and if he just left.
To your point, I think Young Thug might have been able to pull that off a little. Without it, it just sticks out. So, which is doesn't ruin the song. I love the song.
Oh, it's a good song. And also, like, that sort of, like, singy rap from Future or Young Thug, like, does really well in an album setting or, like, a single that you're gonna, like, party to. I don't know. It's, like, weird on a soundtrack.
Yeah, this
like,
is...
Like, that, I was like, yeah. It's not, like, an artistic, like... coming out party.
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
There's a reason you're creating this song. It's like weird to like kind of go off on this ledge.
Yeah.
For that. So, I don't know. But yeah, I'm interested to listen to J-Rock's album. Yeah. If that's the lead single, it's like, that's kind of dope. Because TDE's been on a real bender lately, mm-hmm. So.
I think they're going to, try and get... I don't want to bet on any TDE releases, but I would... Would not be surprised if we see a J-Rock and Schoolboy album.
I think Schoolboy will be later this year. Because,
Those guys are both... Absol is... No, he came out a little bit ago.
Isaiah Rashad? Nah.
Nah. Maybe, but...
Schoolboy definitely is due, and he's, like, talked about how he felt showed... Like, he came out a couple of times in interviews saying, like, how... critically acclaimed Kendrick's album was, like, he's happy for him, but he felt like a competitive thing, like he needed to, like, get back in the studio, which is like, yo, your last at Blank Face was really tight. Mm-hmm. Like, if you feel like you still need to get over that, it's like, oh, what is this dude gonna bring? Because that was sick.
Cool. I bet we see those two albums at least from TDE.
Yeah, let's go to the next. So our second album is Maxo Cream. He is a Houston rapper. We've talked about a few of his singles, but this is his first album after releasing, like, I think 3 or 4 mixtapes. The most recent one is the Persona Tape, which was released in 2016. Definitely worth checking out. There's lots of bangers. And he's been releasing two singles, I think, came out from this album, like, earlier last year. Like, it's been a while. He released Grannies and Bust Down.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the two singles.
The last bonus track, I think, was a single, too.
Yeah, and, like, he's really fire. What do you have to say to start off before you get into, like, too deep?
Just in general, his flows across this whole album are insane.
So, it sounded a lot like... He sounds a lot like me, across a lot of his tapes, and this album, he has a flow of like ASAP Rocky feeling to me. I don't know why, but his voice sounds like Ferg.
Yeah, his voice is
like,
really cool.
Yeah, he's like a heavy, it's like heavy and deep, but like the way that he like flows through songs is like I don't know. I put him in the echelon of like Rocky.
Right. Yeah.
He sounds ASAP to me.
Yeah. We talked about Grannies when it came out, and, I'm sure it's cut and isn't all one take, but the way it's done, it sounds like he takes like one or two breaths throughout the whole song.
Yo, like that song, he raps the entire time.
But
the way that it's put together, it's like he raps from start to finish. Yeah. There's no stopping. You want to play a little bit of that, actually? That's probably like my favorite song from him. Or what do you want to do?
Do you remember if we played it when we talked about it initially?
No, I don't remember.
Okay. Let's
Amateur Real Life Music Podcast.
Yeah, let's play Grannies.
Yeah, fuck it.
Wake up in the morning, load my pistol, can't live on without it. Come from where you see a lot of bodies, but don't talk about it. Hard to find a plug, I middleman that package on consignment. Hookers, strippers, crackers, robbers, trappers, all in public housing. Uncle Bo was stealing from my granny, can't leave shit around here. Roaches, rats, and ants inside my pantry, can't leave food around here. Auntie Trish was asleep, I stole her car, and when my servant Robin, grinding with my family through the struggle, hold them down regardless. Mama, daddy kicked me out at 50 while in renegade and moved into apartments with my granny, started going crazy. Then my brother Drew moved in, he fresh up out the penitentiary.
Yeah, so that's the song Grannies, and that song, like, is just really fire. Like, you can tell how talented he is just from, like, the in and out of every line. Like, there's just no stopping.
Yeah, that's it also ties into, so, my two big pluses off this album are his flows are crazy, and this goes for, I think, all of his projects. His flows are crazy, and he's an awesome storyteller.
Yeah.
He paints such a good picture. There's the whole album isn't storytelling. There's like two or three songs where you get a lot of that, but he's really talented at kind of writing and to take you into his upbringing.
So yeah, I think that's an interesting point, because something that I found when looking up this song, kind of like researching a little bit more, is he had just a quote. Did you see this quote about the white hipster?
Yeah.
Okay, so his quote about this song Granny is, "I made this song so people could understand me. A lot of my fans are in the white hipster internet crowd. What up? They like my music, but they don't know why I say certain shit. They can't relate to it. Grannies describes a typical scene at my grandma's place, which is where I lived after my mom and dad kicked me out when I was 14 years old. So, like, but you don't, like, as you're listening to the song, like, you are absorbing the story and hearing what he's saying, but, like, you're not too deep in, like, a, wow, like, I feel bad.
Well, that's, he doesn't.
Like, maybe feeling bad is the wrong way to say it, but it's no. Like, yo, you're painting this picture, like, oh, my God, like, I get this guy's, like, I feel that guy's,
yeah,
life.
Yeah, he does, on these storytelling songs, a lot of them are just about his time growing up, mm-hmm. and he talks about a couple times on the album, like, going from hanging out at Chuck E. Cheese at 12 to like selling drugs at 13, but he never like asks for pity necessarily.
No, he's just like describing.
He says it like very like, this is what happened. I did this because like my family was broke and his parents were kind of in and out of the picture from what I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, never at, is it's not, it doesn't come across as like, oh, like pity me.
No, he's just like describing his life as like, yeah, you know, dealing drugs, like kind of living this life where he didn't give a shit about school, like in high school, mm-hmm. like he had spent some time in jail, like I think
it's still
in high school or just after high school.
Yeah, he's from what I understand has a couple cases,
yeah,
still out, the organized crime. Still outstanding.
And, like, one of my favorite lines from the album actually is on the first song, kind of talking about that, where he goes, "Math teacher asked me, Maxo, why I'm always skipping. I was trapping fractions after school, like detention," where it's like,
yeah,
yo, like, okay, yeah, he was skipping math class, but, like, he was learning math. You know, he brings it down to a level that's like, hey, like, not everyone from the hood is, like, an idiot.
Right.
Like, we deal with certain learning curves in this, like, particular way,
yeah,
which I think is, like, he has a good way of describing it. Like, it's not clunky. It's, like, very well written, and, like, the lyricism is, like, really dope. So I was in on that. That was pretty swag. What else?
So on Roaches, it's kind of the – he starts off the first album – the first track on the album is Work, and that has some storytelling. And then Roaches is sort of the end plus a bonus track. But Roaches also has a lot of the storytelling, and it's really well done. That's sort of one where he goes beyond just growing up and talks about when he was at the Floyd Mayweather fight and gets a call from his mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saying like how Hurricane Harvey is hitting and their house is flooding. And he is, like, stuck because he can't book a flight because of the hurricane, obviously. It's pretty wild because there were stories when that was happening about fans helping his mom, like, in Houston.
Oh,
because,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, because he was out of town. He couldn't make it, but...
Yo, so, like, this part of the album, this is, like, my... The most emotional part was, like, this.
Mm-hmm.
The back half of this song. It was really tight. Yeah, because, like, okay, so, yeah, at a macro level, like, everyone can relate to, like, your mom calling you in a situation with a problem that you're like, I don't want to deal with this right now. Like, I'm out.
Yeah, because you know there is an aspect to that.
Yeah.
He talks about he was, like, messed up at the fight.
Yeah.
He's like nowhere near. Hit her in the morning.
He says, Impala Range Rover, she need me to come over. Nowhere near sober. It was fucking up my night. And it's like, yeah, like, I've been there when my mom texts me, like, on a Friday night. And I'm like, ah, I'll call you tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, like, two lines later, it's like, fuck! Like, no! Like, I need to help. Yeah, it's like, I get that. Like, not in any level that happened, you know, to me. But, like, I get that. I can relate to that. That was pretty sick. That song is really dope. And there's only one Donald Trump kind of diss,
which I
was surprised about.
Yeah, I mean, that is what it is. And he makes a comp to Katrina.
Yeah.
But, so, my one, it's not even a knock necessarily against the album. I was kind of hoping for, you mentioned the Persona tape. That project has just grimy beats. And I think those fit his voice so well. And this project is a little more just, I think the beats are still cool. But they're a little more towards the just straight, like, trap radio right now beats. He's still, like I said, like, his flows are crazy and still fit the beats really well. But I think, although the first few tracks off the Persona tape have just some, like, gnarly beats.
Yeah,
and his voice is perfect.
I don't think he, like, I like Maxo Cream, but I think that, like, his plays, at least in my listening, has, like, a very specific place, you know, like, he's not that diverse of a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has a flow and, like, his sounds sound great on, like, a type of beat, and, like, when you kind of, if you get too far from that, you are like, oh,
I don't know. I think there's still
really
a kind of variety of beats on it. Like, if you listen to Grannies and then Bust Down, which are the, like, Bust Down is a pretty different beat than a lot of it.
Yeah, but okay, but I guess his flow doesn't change that much.
I think it does.
Na, 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 na. It's like very, like, he has, like, it's, like, fast, quick, but, like, stop. Line change.
Yeah, na, 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 I see what you're saying. Like, I do think he does have different flows, though, throughout the album, and even on the same song.
Okay.
Here and there, but, no, I understand what you're saying.
I mean, okay, so how about this? What did you think of the Trippy Red feature, because that is a very contrast to what I imagine, what I think of Maxo Cream. And if you're not familiar with Trippie Redd, which I hopefully you are if you're listening to this podcast,
right, just
because you're a music nerd, he's like the next come up of, like, the Uzi Vert frame of rap. Like, singy, like, kind of rocky.
What was the song he was on with Dram?
I don't know, but he's got the Dumb O Night song with Travis Scott.
Yeah.
I don't know what the song with Dram is.
Trippie Redd's around.
Yeah, and, like, he, I think, is on the XXL freshman list, I think. So he's, like, the next come up of
whatever. I sort of like that song. I think the
song is called Capiche.
Yeah. There's also, like, a cool, that vocal sample has been used in something else, and it's been killing, like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I don't,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know what it's in, but so I like that. The first kind of hook and verse and hook sort of until Trippie Redd comes in, there's a lot of Trippie Redd and Maxo ad-libs,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, my dumb brain really likes ad-libs, and so...
His ad-libs?
There's like, it's a super busy, like, first part of the song, but I like it. I think it's a fun party song.
Yeah, the ad-libs aren't even, like,
they're not...
Because, okay, yeah, when I think of ad-lib, it's usually, like, the Travis Scott, like, it's lit! Like, a bunch of times in a row, but, like, okay, so to your point, he's like, your bitch is gone, Capiche, bitch gone! And, like, you know, it's like, they're just basically, like, re-saying a bunch of stuff, and then, like, we're gonna be really vulgar here for a second, but this is, like, a type of, like, ad-lib we're talking about, and he goes... Maxo Cream says, I let her suck on my dick and you don't have to use your teeth. And then in the background just goes, don't use your teeth. Yeah. Like, oh, man.
It's definitely
when I first listened to that, I was like, oh, that's funny.
It's just a party song.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, there's just so much going on in the first couple minutes. I like it.
Yeah.
I think it works pretty well.
Yeah, and it's cool that he has Trippie Redd on here, because I think that'll help Maxo maybe gain a little bit of popularity.
Right. It's
because,
also...
like, right now... Well, there's another song on this album. God, I can't remember now. It might be ATW, where he kind of, like, trashes mumble rappers.
It's on Roches. Roches? Yeah. He talks about how... face tats used to mean something, which is like a crazy thing to say, and how he kind of bemoans the lack of substance and metaphors in modern rap, but then also has Trippie Redd on the album.
Yeah, one of his other bigger singles is with Lil Uzi Vert,
right?
Which, like, those guys are kind of disciples of the mumble.
Yeah, he fucks with Playboi Carti too.
Yeah, there's a song that talks about sliding into Cardi's DMs,
yeah.
Or Cardi sliding into his girl's DMs.
Yeah.
Oh, which song is that? Is that
Love Drugs?
No. But there's a song
That's Astrodome Part 2.
Yeah, that might be it. Where Maxo is kind of talking about how he, what is it? Like, his girl doesn't want to fuck with him no more? Like,
let me find it. Yeah, it's Astrodome Part 2. The whole song is just it's basically like a trap version of Mambo Number 5, where he's just naming these girls that he gets with, and the intro is it's supposed to be his girl talking to somebody else about how she's into, like, thick guys and everything, and then then the song comes and it's just him listing off all the girls he gets with. Then the outro is like, she's like, man, like, fuck Maxo. That's why I got Cardi and Uzi sliding.
Here's the outro
DMs.
Skit. It's like, fuck Maxo. What happened? He don't do shit. He never take me out to eat. He don't take me shopping. Fuck him. I've been told you to leave his ass. And then she goes, that's why Cardi and Uzi are in my DMs right now.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. Then the song ends. And I was like, oh, damn, dude.
Yeah, the hook on that is, I'm a slut, I'm a thought, I got hoes, I got bobs.
Yeah, he's like four times, like, I'm a slut, I'm a hoe. It's like, oh, it's funny. Yeah, dude, what else you want to say about him?
You want to talk about...
Pop Another?
Yeah, since...
Well, let's talk about, like, those couple songs in a row.
Yeah.
So let's talk about... So there's a three song, this is kind of what got me on this album from, like, a more artistic view, I guess, is, like, the Love Drugs... to Pop Another to Janky. So Love Drugs is about how he loves drugs more than the girl, and
mm-hmm.
the whole song is about, like, why would you think I'd be with you when I could
yeah.
like, you know, go do lean or, like, blah 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 blah. And then Pop Another is basically starts is exactly what it sounds like.
I have a couple thoughts on Love Drugs. Is
okay.
So that description is entirely accurate, but it also makes the song kind sound of, like, unoriginal or something. It's like, it sounds so awesome. Do you want to play that song?
Yeah, let's play a little bit. Let's do the chorus, because I think
it's
the
like
four
very,
or five lines from that are, like,
it's
pretty...
very melodic and nice.
Yeah, let's do that.
Mama, why you got a nigga stressing? Lil' mama, why you gotta ask questions?
Whoa.
Why you worry about the hoes I'm texting? Why you going through my phone text message?
Uh-huh.
I be creeping on the low, can't help it. I be sipping on the phone,
can't help
it. Taking purse to the face like a selfie. Molly Rock, I'ma roll like Elvis.
Hey,
I choose the purse over you. Hey, I choose the surf over you.
Ay.
I put the herb in the leaf like it's autumn. I'm on the surf like a pancake or waffle. Just like a baby, I sip out the bottle. Sell on the pine, I'ma pull out the bottle. Tropical Sprite with codeine at the bottom. Mix it together and first it was.
That was Love Drugs. I really like the song. It also makes me... The whole message of the song is, like, kind of depressing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, so, first of all, somebody, like, being into that wide array of drugs right off the bat is tough. Especially if, like, somebody you're... I'm not going to say I look up to Maxo, but somebody you... would like to hear from more in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But then also on top of that, to say that, like, he prefers that over other people is tough.
Yeah,
but,
no,
it also just sounds really awesome.
Yeah. And kind of what you said is, like, it makes it sound less interesting. Like, it's not the future version of like Sip and Lean party anthem. It's like, yeah, this is like a song about like someone that's like addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
And like giving up these relationships.
He like, doesn't want to like interact with certain people because.
So, yeah, and I think that's just interesting that song comes right before. I mean, maybe it's not interesting, but Pop Another. Because that song is just like pop another pill, pop another seal, pop another pill, pop another seal. And kind of just goes from there, talking about drugs again. Like the first line of the first verse is chase the Adderall with alcohol.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't mix drugs and alcohol.
No, that sounds bad.
Over a Tame Impala sample, I think Reality in Motion off of Currents. So he's maybe marketing towards those white hipsters.
Yeah.
Us.
For sure. I mean, I'm listening.
I resent the name hipster. I think that comes with...
What are we then?
I don't know.
White internet rap fans?
Just a couple of whites who listen to a lot of music. I don't know. I think hipster comes with like a... Not to get too off topic, but like a sort of like tag of snobbiness. I think we're relatively open-minded on the pod.
Yeah, and I think that there's... Yeah, no, and...
Because we do talk about mainstream stuff.
I hate doing that. Yeah, I think that part of the thing is like, if you like music and just like introducing other people to music, there is you have to be above snobby. It's just like, hey, I found this shit that I think you might like.
Right.
It's not like, oh my god, you've never heard of this person that has 50,000 listeners. Yeah. Like, I can't believe you've never heard of this. It's like, no, you're
an idiot. We also don't like turn our nose up at.
Yeah, it's like I listen to whatever once.
Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah, yeah. I fuck hard with like the top 40 songs. Like I kind of like Filthy now. Like after last week's episode, I've listened, dude, it comes on all the time and I kind of like it.
It's problematic.
Yo, Dua Lipa? I fuck with Dua Lipa. Like, I like, dumb pop just as much as the next person.
All right, so that was our little rant of...
But then, yeah, then I also like this. Like, there's... You don't have to be snobby about it. It's like, yo.
Yeah.
Like, just check out all this music.
Yeah.
Listen to more music.
If you do... If you feel that you do listen to more music than the average person, maybe leverage that and recommend music to other people.
Tweet at us.
Yeah. Also tweet at us and follow us and give us 5 stars. Very obnoxious.
The upcoming Grammy episode is gonna be fire because we're gonna do a drinking game, bingo. So heads up.
Yeah, totally. We're gonna live tweet it. It's gonna be great.
Mm.
To all of our,
let's just Periscope it.
Our bot followers.
Let's Periscope it.
We're gonna get a DMCA takedown.
Okay. Yeah. What do you else have to say about Maxa? How would you compare him? Okay, so, I mean, one of our other favorite rappers that's not, like, huge mainstream, Cousin Stiz, also from Texas.
Houston, yeah. Or, like, I don't know if Houston, but Texas.
Like, yeah, like, how do you kind of, like, put them... Because we talk about Cousin Stiz a lot as well.
Yeah.
Wait, is Cousin Stiz from Houston? Or is he from Boston? He might be from Boston.
He's from Boston. Fuck that. Never mind. So, shout out Shea Serrano.
Yeah, you're fucking us up.
Yeah. Serrano is a big Cousin Stiz guy, but Shea Serrano is from Texas. He also tweets about Maxwell Cream, hence the mix-up. Cousin Stiz, Boston. So, I'm not going to answer that question.
Take that back. We'll just cut that out.
Let's end on a strong note and not a note of confusion. A strong note?
Chug your... Oh, you already finished your whiskey.
Yeah, man.
Mine's just water.
Yeah, so...
Mark's shook. Mark, I'm going to let you do... You're going to host the next episode and, like, do the segues.
Oh, you don't think I'm a host, Nick?
No, that's not what I meant, you dick. Actually, I would like to talk about quickly... Just shout out Maxo for having...
On track.
Shout out Maxo for having a Jeff Hardy wrestling reference at the end of Beyonce. He said, Swanton Bomb, Jeff Hardy, and I just, like, lost my shit. I was like, that's dope.
I think there's another WWE reference on there somewhere.
Is it really?
Yeah, he also talks about busting his head on a steel chair.
Yeah,
which
he wanted to be a wrestler earlier. Yeah, he was like talking about as a kid that he would wrestle with his like friends and brothers and whatever.
Yeah, which
and
is
like watching Triple H, Ric Flair,
which is like a really good, not good, but like to utilize that as a contrast to a couple years later when he's like on the corners, is like very well done mm-hmm. and smart.
Yep.
Yeah, I would give it a listen. It's pretty quick. There's some awesome storytelling. Yeah, if you want just straight up storytelling, check out Work, Grannies, and Roaches. If you want bangers, I would say Bust Down. Capiche is polarizing, but what's another banger?
I mean, the last
one more banger.
Hobbies.
Hobbies is fun. Yeah, we'll say that.
Yeah. Okay. So
also that has a fun, not storytelling line, but he's still a very good writer. He says, four shots to his chest, that's an Audi.
Yes, that was one of the best lines. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm painting that picture in my head. I was like, oh, ew. You're fucking someone up.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, definitely go check out Maxo Cream. What are you looking forward to then, like, the rest of this week coming up? What do we have coming out next week? Do you know?
I have no idea.
All right, cool. Me neither. That's a good end of this episode.
Shit. We're going to figure it out, and we'll be back in...
next week.
X amount of time.
Yeah,
we're gonna say next week.
Yeah, for sure, dude. We'll do like a Grammy preview episode.
When are the Grammys?
The 28th
of January.
Yeah, so 2 weeks, I think.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah.
We gotta finish that bingo square.
It's in between. Yeah, we gotta finish the bingo square. Yeah, what up? Shout out Earbuds. Shout out us. Your favorite music podcast that you didn't know.
One last time, 5-star review.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Whoop whoop. Ric Flair trip. Whoop.